Virginia Public Radio is underwritten by the Virginia Education Association. Teaching, learning, leading.
All right, so a lot to get to this week in advance of the General Assembly coming back to town next week. They're going to consider all of the governor's vetoes and his amendments. Jeff Shapiro, let's start with his record number of vetoes. Youngkin now holds the record for the most number of vetoes. What are some of the most notable ones?
Remember, that's a record this year and for 3 years into his term, a record 153 this year for a record three-year total of 194. And remember, Glenn Youngkin's got a year to go. In this latest round of vetoes, among the measures rejected by the governor, one that would protect doctors and nurses from having to go to other states to face charges for purportedly conducting illegal abortions. According, this would assume that these are states in which there are severe restrictions on the procedure. Of course, that is not the case in Virginia. Another bill rejected by the governor would create a state board that seemed to have the potential to lower pharmaceutical rates for Virginians. The governor also rejected paid family leave. And he did indicate that he would sign the so-called skills games bills. This is the legislation that would legalize these electronic gambling machines one sees at convenience stores and filling stations. But he's proposed some rather sweeping changes first.
So we've got a record number of vetoes. We also have a record number of budget amendments. What does the governor want to do with the budget?
That's about 243 amendments to the budget. Remember, that's a two-year, $188 billion budget. As far as the Democrats are concerned, the governor wants only to transform their rewrite of the budget bill into some approximation of what he had introduced back in December. Governor also has paid particular attention to some of the fine print. My colleagues David Ress and Charlotte Woods report that the governor would strike language ending state paid abortions for severe fetal abnormalities. The dollars that the state has spent in recent years are, shall we say, nominal for something like that.
So all 140 members of the General Assembly will be returning to Richmond on April 17 for a reconvene session where they will consider all of the governor's actions. What are we expecting to happen in that one-day session?
I suspect for the most part, the budget bill that will be sent back to the governor will bear a closer resemblance to the one that the Democrats sent him back in March. Question is, what will the governor do with it then? He has options. He could allow it to become law with or without his signature, or he could veto it. That would be unprecedented, the veto of an entire state budget.
So if he does veto it, wouldn't that create the need for a special session?
Yes, it would. And presumably the Democrats would do as the speaker, Don Scott, had indicated to me, send the governor their version of the budget that was sent to him back in March, setting up yet another confrontation between a Republican governor and a Democratic-controlled legislature, but with about 2 months to go. And I think one of the big questions would be, what would Republicans do? Would they stick with the governor, or it being the downhill side of his term, and particularly Republican delegates thinking about running on a ticket led by someone other than Glenn Youngkin, would they support Democrats in a veto override attempt?
All right. That's all the time that we've got for this week. My name is Michael Pope, and we've been joined by Jeff Shapiro of the Richmond Times-Dispatch. Talk to you next week.
Looking forward to it.